health was defined by the World Health Organization several years ago as a state of complete physical, mental, social, and spiritual well-being. So it's physical, it's mental, social, and spiritual well-being. When we talk about health, most people talk about the physical. But what I have found in my 35 years of medical practice, particularly in the last 8 years, since I established a practice in the highbrow Victoria Island, is that the biggest problem now facing most of us in this room will be mental, not physical. We've been able to overcome physical health challenges because many of us have primary prevention, so we take vaccinations, we are aware, we eat well, we live in nice environments, we are able to control germs in our environment. So hardly in my practice do I see patients with malaria, believe it or not. Hardly do I see patients with malaria. So in a year, we may run 10,000 tests, of which maybe 20 will be positive for malaria. That's a negligible proportion. Okay, so I want to talk about the effects of stress on our health. I think that's the major thing that I think we need to talk about, because busyness results in stress. So stress is a condition or a feeling that a person experiences when you perceive that the demands on you exceeds what you think you are able to mobilize. So when you think the demands on your person, on your time, on your resources exceeds what you think you have in you, then you will feel stress. So when we say stress is not something that is only for adults. Even this baby can feel stressed. Newborn babies feel stressed. When you take a baby's hand, I'm a pediatrician, so you take a baby's hand for the first time and to take blood, they don't feel anything, they're happy. And then you swab and you prick the needle. The next time you hold that hand, the baby has learned that holding the hand in that particular way means pain is coming. They feel stressed. So anybody can feel stressed. It's just that what stresses Pastor Hovey may be different from what stresses me. But trust me, and what will stress that baby, we all feel stress. Stress is simply when you feel you're not able to give enough to meet up to expectations. And yes, many of us are busier than we should be. We are busier than we have any business being. And that is because technology, I think, is the main driver. Part of it is materialism. We've become an extremely materialistic world. We are all wanting much more than we need, but we all keep thinking, you know, the goalposts keep shifting. When I get a house, then I'll be happy. No, then it has to be in Lekki, and then it has to be in Banana Island, and it doesn't end. You know, so materialism is one big thing, but technology is another one. In the past, I'm sure I haven't seen anybody checking the phone yet. Maybe the church has a rule about checking phones. Okay, well, I just saw somebody now. Okay, but the point is that in the past, when you were somewhere, you had to be there, the whole of you, because you had no options. But now you can be in 5 places together. You're checking WhatsApp, so you're seeing what your friend in America is doing. You're checking Facebook, your friend in Australia. You are chatting with people. And you know, we feel compelled. I don't know, there was a very interesting article I either read or heard that both Bill Gates and Steve Jobs made sure that their children did not get dependent on technology. Whether we believe it or not, technology is an addiction. The BlackBerry was one of the worst things that happened to the world. That red light was an addiction. When you see the red light on your phone, what happens is that you release endorphins, happy hormones. The same thing people release when they take drugs. So after a while, every time you see a red light, you feel happy. Whether it's good news or bad news, so you feel happy. And then you feel compelled to look at it. Even if you are driving in a car, you have to quickly see what they wrote there. And it becomes an addiction. We can't control ourselves. So we are in church, and the pastor is praying, and we are looking at our phones. It's an addiction. So technology is one of the biggest stressors that we have, okay? But there are many other stressors. Living in Lagos is an extremely stressful environment. And we are living stressful lives in a very stressful environment. Okay. So we have moved now from talking about disease or illness to wellness. Like I said, most of us here, I mean, to be honest, I hope none of you has had malaria. Who has had malaria in the last 1 year? Here, okay, all right. So we've moved from talking about illness to wellness. And so what is wellness? I defined health before, now I want to define wellness. Sorry, my iPad is a bit old. Okay, so wellness is a healthy balance of the mind, the body, and the spirit. A healthy balance of the mind, the body, and the spirit that results in an overall feeling of well-being. And to be well, or to attain a state of wellness, there has to be an active process of becoming aware of yourself and making choices. Making choices. So you have to be aware that you want to be well, that maybe you are not well. And when I talk about wellness, now I'm not talking about being sick physically, having a fever, having malaria or typhoid and all those things we like to have in Nigeria. But it's a matter of you know that all is not well with you. And I think that's why I was asked to speak this evening. And then you make active choices. One of the things we should be able to do to ensure wellness is that we should be able to say no. Many of us suffer from an ability to say no. We think we have to be everything to everybody. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could be everything to everybody. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could solve the world's problem. He hasn't called any of us to do that. We will do what we can do in our own small way. But when we want to be here, there, and everywhere, do this and that, then we feel stressed. So don't forget, very important, choices you make towards a more successful existence. And then we talk about health fields now versus medical care. And I'll tell you more about health fields. So the good news, like I said earlier, is that we've conquered communicable illnesses. Okay? When was the last time we had anybody had cholera or any of those things? Yes, social media too doesn't do us a lot of good. Every day there's a scare about Lassa somewhere. And to be honest, those things are very remote from us. Very remote, very far from us. Okay? So we have conquered most communicable illnesses. Most people here, barring an accident, armed robbery, will live to be 80, 90. And that's the truth. Yes, it's nice because we're in church to say in Jesus' name. But even the non-believers are living to be 80 and 90 simply because of the development in healthcare. So what used to kill us before? Malaria, cholera, pneumonia, and all those things. Now, those ones are easily managed. So what do we have now? The problems we now have are the non-communicable diseases, the chronic ailments. And when you say chronic doesn't mean serious. It just means an illness that does not go. So if I have malaria now and I take antimalarials, I will get better. If I have pneumonia and I take antibiotics, I will get better. But if I have hypertension, I will live with it for life. Okay? And there's no point being in denial. Our lifestyles are what have resulted in these chronic ailments being so prevalent. 50%, half of the people in this room who are above 40 years are hypertensive, whether they like it or not. A minimum of 50, it could be 100% of us. I am hypertensive, okay? And I've been for how many years? 16 years. That's the reality. So we learn to live with it. But we can control it, we can't cure it. So my blood pressure is very normal. If I was to do my blood pressure now, it would be very normal. But it's normal because I'm on medication. I thank God for many things. I thank God first that I knew that I was hypertensive. I thank God, secondly, that I can afford the medication for my hypertension. So I'm good. Because there are many people who the first time they know they're hypertensive is when they have a stroke or when they have a heart attack. For many people, that's the first time. That's why hypertension is called the silent killer. Because many people don't check. And even when they check, people live in denial. Somebody comes into the hospital, the blood pressure is 180 over 110. It's because of the ghost load when I was coming. Oh, my child annoyed me. Oh, my husband stressed me. No, your blood pressure is high. Period. Accept it. So like I was saying, we've been able to conquer communicable diseases, but now the non-communicable diseases are with us. So hypertension, diabetes, and so on. Those are also, in my opinion, very easy to manage. All you need to know you have this illness, and most doctors are trained and know how to treat them. I'm going to focus a lot on the mental health, but we need to talk a little bit also about the physical health, okay? So talking about health fields, there are 8 dimensions now to our health. There's the spiritual, very important. You know, for those of us who are adults and we have grown children, and for even those who are young and are children, the amount of drug use in Lagos is incredible, including in the church. The number of young people, our children in their 20s and 30s, who smoke weed as a matter of course, on a daily basis, you know, and to them is okay. And they will justify it and tell you that Obama smoked weed and he ended up being the president of America. And they will give you all kinds of, and then there's medical marijuana now. And you know what, I thought about it for a while and I realized that I gave my life to the Lord before my 18th birthday, a few days before Edwina's 18th birthday. Okay. So her birthday party was the last one I attended. Okay, so, I was saying, but you see, what we used as a crutch when we were growing up, was the gospel. So we became fanatical Christians, you know, go and preach in the market, preach on the buses, and do all kinds of radical things. But that was what we used as our own support as we were growing up. And you know what? There was no harm in it. There's no risk in being a fanatical Christian. None. You know, everything about it is positive. It makes you a better person, makes you a happier person, makes you a more focused person. Young people today somehow don't have that kind of faith. I don't know where they lost it. I don't know if it is hypocrisy they saw in us that makes it difficult for them to believe the way we believed. So they look for crutches elsewhere. So the spiritual is very important. I think we are quite balanced in our generation because we had that crutch. We turn back to the Lord, okay? Then there's the emotional. I was very happy to hear Mrs. Idowu give all that credence to her husband. That's very good, okay? Many of us, as women, are emotionally unfulfilled. Many of us are emotionally unfulfilled. I felt particularly pained about the death of Pastor Hove because 2 weeks or so before he passed on, we had a funeral of another person, and I was sitting behind them. And what struck me was the friendship between the pastor and his wife. I haven't been as close to Yinka since, you know, we grew up and got married. But I thought, Yinka really had a very happy marriage. They were teasing each other throughout the service, you know. So, and I thought, no wonder she looks the way she does. I'm being honest, but many of us are emotionally not fulfilled. But the emotions are very important. We must take care of our emotions. Unfortunately for us, emotional fulfillment will always come from a spouse or a partner, okay? Then there's the physical, we talked about that already. There's the environmental, there's the social. Societal pressures in Lagos are phenomenal. But do we have to keep up with the Joneses? Those are the choices we talked about that you can make. The choices you can make for wellness, must you keep up with the Joneses? The answer is no. I was coming in from Benin yesterday, or 2 days ago, I don't remember, and I was at the airport. And someone said, there was a bus, no, I was going to Benin. And someone said something about business class, that it's for the business class passengers. And made a joke about business class. And he says, it's a waste of money to go business class on such a short trip. The Benin trip is less than 1 hour, maybe 35 minutes. And I said, it's a waste of money to go business class anywhere, as long as I'm paying with my money, and I mean that. I said, as long as I'm buying my ticket, it's a waste of money to go anywhere, business class. And he said, well, it depends on your status. I said, the class I fly doesn't determine my status. I am who I am. You know, I am who I am. Those were decisions I had to make when I left Nigerian Breweries. When I was in Nigerian Breweries, if I took a flight to Benin, I went business class to Benin, short Benin. And I will have people waiting to check me in at the airport. And I will have people to receive me with armored cars on the other side so that they don't kidnap me and hold my company to ransom. So when I left, I had to make a quick decision that Ngozi, calm down. That was other people's money. You're not going to use your money. And yes, the first few times when I went to the airport and I saw my colleagues with all the grand style and me just waiting in the long queue. But now it doesn't matter. I don't even think about it. So I do that choice. But I could have chosen to keep going business class. And I know where I'll be today. I'll be in debt, big debt. I'm already in a bit of debt with the business. I'll have been maybe in jail by now. So we need to make those choices, okay? Then there's intellectual. We need to continue to develop ourselves as women. We need to continue to develop ourselves. Thank you. There's occupational and financial. We need to make good choices with the way we spend our money. We need to make good choices with the way we spend our money. Everybody brings you some gold to buy. You buy, and you know these gold sellers, I know them. You can pay me now. You don't have to pay now. Then you pack them. Before you know what, you're owing 2 million naira on jewelry. When they start coming for their money, the same person who told you, no, it doesn't matter, I know you now, you are there. Everything will change. Let us make wise financial choices. You know, let us buy those things we need. We must make a difference between what is an absolute must-have and what is a nice-to-have. Yes, we can treat ourselves sometimes. Many of us have worked very hard, and yes, the reward of success, we should be able to treat ourselves. But we must prioritize. We must know what we absolutely must have and what is just a nice-to-have. So we must make sure that we take care of our finances, because those are the things that can put pressure on us. We have to make lifestyle choices, personal decisions over which we have control that can contribute or cause disease. So the things we eat, you know, like I said, these are all physical. I'm not too particular about physical. I'm very particular about the mental health, because that's the biggest problem we have in Lagos now. I see young ladies, middle-aged ladies, they come into the hospital and they have typhoid, or they have malaria, or worst of all, they have both malaria and typhoid. Wow, they must be so unlucky, you know. And they've been to 5 different hospitals. I keep wondering, that woman with the issue of blood who had been to so many doctors, I wonder if she didn't have a mental health issue like many of us have today. You know, we are laughing, but it's really very sad. You know, they've been to this doctor, and the doctor, this one gave them Cipro, this one gave, they've taken everything for malaria and typhoid, but they still don't feel well. And the test is always positive. And unfortunately, some unscrupulous mates of mine will continue to take advantage and say, the typhoid is high. This one, trust me, if you have typhoid, nobody can walk into my office and say, I have typhoid. If you have typhoid, you are sick in bed. You are shivering with a high temperature. You are a very sick person. Same with malaria. Let's not forget that it's malaria that liberated Nigeria. That was what killed the white man. So malaria is not something you can have and sit down in church and say, I've had malaria for 2 weeks. You'll be dead. You know, so it's not possible to have malaria for 2 weeks. But like I said, some unscrupulous doctors have taken advantage, and some of us like to be taken advantage of, because when I run the tests and I say you don't have malaria, they don't feel very happy with me. And then what do I have? I say you are stressed. Every symptom of stress can be like malaria. So you have headaches, is stress. So you have muscular pain, is stress. Let me say a little bit about stress. Maybe if I explain what stress is. Stress is often a very bad thing. However, stress is not always bad, because stress is what makes you go beyond your normal comfort zone. Stress is what will make us hear a loud sound now, that we will all run as fast as anything. You won't believe that we are 60-year-old people when we run. That is stress. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. What is bad is sustained stress. So nervous system is like putting on a light bulb. You switch something on, electrons will travel and the light will come up. In the same way, when you perceive something, your brain releases certain chemicals, and the chemicals your brain will release will depend on what you perceive. So if what you perceive is a threat, fear, you release adrenaline and cortisol. What is adrenaline? What does adrenaline do? We all know when you say you're riding on adrenaline. So what does adrenaline do? It makes your heart beat fast. It makes your muscles contract. It makes you ready to run, for example, to run away from something or to fight. It makes you feel like wanting to urinate or to void your bowels. It makes you want to lighten yourself so you can move fast. So your muscles go into contraction. Your heart is beating. Blood is pumping into your head. Your eyes dilate. You are producing acid in your stomach and all that. But you see, if you are running a race, and all that happens to you, then you will win that race. And then the race is over after a 100 meters dash, and that's it. But that is the same way we feel. The same thing happens in our body every time anything stresses us. So you get up in the morning, you're already late. Adrenaline kicks in. Then you get down, you live in an apartment building. Sorry, please just give me 5 more minutes. I promise you I'll be done. In an apartment building, somebody has blocked your car. Some more adrenaline. Then you drive, and then the toll gate, the e-tag lane is not working, and you now have to be in the lock. Some more adrenaline. And that is it. It goes on and on. And sometimes it's even just what we are thinking in our mind. Not even. It's almost end of term. Where we get money to pay children's fees. And what about if this will happen? Then they will drive my children. And before you know what, you've already seen the end of them driving your children and you living under the bridge. Meanwhile, nothing has changed. What are you doing? You're producing adrenaline or cortisol. And the worst thing about cortisol is that cortisol reduces your immunity and makes you prone to physical illnesses, which is why you will notice when you are stressed, you always get cold all the time. Every small virus passes, you will catch it because you are stressed. On the other hand, when you are not stressed, what do you produce? Endorphins. Endorphins. I promise you, this is the last I will say. Endorphins. Serotonin and dopamine. Okay? What does endorphin sound like? Endorphin sounds like morphine. Morphine is the most potent painkiller known to man. What does morphine do? It affects your mind. So if, for example, I break my leg and I take morphine, my leg is still broken, but I don't feel pain because of the morphine that has altered my perception to pain. In the same way, when you are in a good place mentally, when you are not stressed, you are producing endorphins. You don't feel pain. Let me tell you a classic example. You see this baby here? If she's running to take ice cream or something and she stubs her foot against the chair and falls down, she will get up and keep running. She won't even notice she fell down. She may even be bleeding. It's her mother who will say she's bleeding. At the same time, this same child, let them punish her and tell her to stand and face that wall. And then a biro falls on her leg. The way she will scream. She's not pretending. She feels the pain more. Because at the point of telling her, face the wall, you've stressed her. So she's produced a lot of adrenaline, cortisol. Her endorphins have gone down because that's how they counterbalance each other. And so suddenly she's feeling all the pain. So suddenly we have tummy ache. We have headache. We have backache. It is all stress. And then you will keep going from one CT scan to another X-ray. Nothing wrong. All stress. Let us remember that we can make choices. There are two ways of becoming rich. One is to get more money. But another is to reduce the number of things you want. And trust me, the easier of the two is to reduce the number of things we want. So we can make those choices to keep ourselves less busy. We can turn certain opportunities down just for a more fulfilling life. Because like the Lord Jesus Christ said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Loses his soul or even his health. Thank you very much for listening to me.